Hi, this is Peter Turk. I'll be next on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
It is time once again for another edition of On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak, and this is episode 138. And this, of course, is your weekly look at what's upcoming for movies, remakes, sequels, TV and movie DVD releases, and our interview segment with someone from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week, we have Peter Tork of the Monkees. He's going to be joining us in a few minutes right here at On Screen and Beyond. It's going to be a great interview because Peter, of course, back in the 60s, was a member of the Monkees. They had a TV show. They toured all over the world. They had mega hit records and great stuff going on. And it's all coming up in just a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. Well, we'll get into that in just a minute. But why don't we get right into what's coming your way as far as remakes next right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake madness. Well, it looks like currently in development, there is a big screen version of the video game Halo, and it's set now for 2012 to be released. And Sam Worthington is set to remake an Arnold Schwarzenegger film. He will star in Commando with a 2011 release on that one, and a remake of sorts in development for 2013 is the release of The Hardy Men. Now, this is an updated version of The Hardy Boys, okay, all those books they had there, and it's as the young guys have grown up, and it's going to star Tom Cruise and Ben Stiller, so it's going to be a comedy, and we'll see how that one works out, and like I said, that's currently in development. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we'll take a look at upcoming movies next right here on Screen and Beyond. Upcoming movies, well, it looks like a film called Machine Man about a tech firm engineer who uses titanium to upgrade his body finds himself being sought after by people who want his inventions. That sounds vaguely familiar. I don't know. You can look for that one in 2012. And it looks like Jack Nicholson and Philip Seymour Hoffman are rumored to be starring in Americana, which is in development. It's about an 1860s Confederate soldier, farmer, slave owner who flees the Civil War for Brazil and finds new love, but he can't escape his past. And that one you can look for in December of 2012. And look for Miley Cyrus to star in So Undercover in 2011. It's an action comedy as a tough, street-smart private eye is hired by the FBI to go undercover in a college sorority. Well, that's about it for upcoming movies. Next, we're going to look at sequels right here on Screen and Beyond. Sequel City, well, it looks like Kick-Ass 2 is going to be called Balls to the Wall and has been given a 2012 release date. And also, another one that's being worked on is Kill Bill Volume 3 with Uma Thurman and Daryl Hannah, and it's now slated for a 2014 release. So that one's going to be coming a ways away here. And let's see, Skyline 2 is already in the treatment outline stage, and it's already listed for a 2012 release. So we'll see how that one works out. Next on Screen and Beyond, TV on DVD. Well, your TV DVD fix, it looks like the complete season 2 of The Virginian will be coming to stores on December 21st in a special edition collector's tin. And FX's Justified, the complete first season, will be on DVD on January 25th. And on November 23rd, you can pick up Batman Beyond, the complete series. It's a 9-disc limited edition set. Okay, and next on Screen and Beyond, movies coming your way on DVD. Movies on DVD, well, it looks like the horror film Let Me In will arrive on DVD on February 1st, 2011, and I Spit on Your Grave comes to DVD on February 8th, 2011, and look for Jack Goes Boating with Philip Seymour Hoffman as it lands on DVD on January 18th, 2011. That's about it for movies on DVD. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, excuse me, we have been trying and trying and trying by requests that have been coming in to get one of the monkeys or some of the monkeys or all of the monkeys on the show. Well, we've been in talks with all of them. We just haven't been able to work any dates out. But Peter Tork is here. That's right. Peter Tork is coming your way in just a minute. Peter, of course, was on the Monkees. He was part of the band and everything, and he's going to talk about all those things. He's a great guy. It's coming up next right here on Screen and Beyond. Joining me today on Screen and Beyond is a musician whose group in the 1960s had 4 number one Billboard albums, and they had multiple top 40 hits, and of course they had a TV show and worldwide concert tours. Today he tours with his band Shoe Suede Blues. It's Peter Tork. Peter, welcome to Screen and Beyond.
Hi, man. How you doing?
Great. And I was trying to think of what was the name of that group you were in back in the 60s. It's
The Chimpanzee.
No.
I don't know.
The monkeys, that's what it was.
Yorkies.
Of
Yorkshire Terriers.
Of course, I'm joking because, you guys were rivaling the Beatles back then.
They tell me that we actually outsold the Beatles and the Stones combined, but I don't think that would have been all that hard to do it at, you know, some particular moments. The Stones and the Beatles were like between albums,
mm-hmm.
And we might have been on top of a record at that point, so it could happen.
Everybody watched your show. It was such, so much fun to watch that show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you had fun.
Oh yeah,
didn't.
You didn't really?
No, I'm joking.
Well, you never know because people. Every time we interview somebody, we find out something different that people don't really know as we go along. So,
right.
But now, I'd like to start off, if you don't mind, with your current group that you're touring with.
I thought you'd never ask.
Now, and I thought I was going to blow this when I said the name, because I automatically go to Blue Suede Shoes, but it's Shoe Suede Blues.
That's right.
Yeah? Now, how did you come up with that name?
Well, it was just a reversal of the song name.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea was just to, I don't know, actually, I just thought of it kind of as a joke. And I went away, and I came back from a little short trip, and the guy said, "Well, we've chosen that name. That's the name of the band." I went, "What?" I wasn't so sure of it myself, but there it is. And what the heck?
Yeah.
This reminds me of a time when blues and pop and country and rock and rockabilly and Pablum Pop and all those things were all on the same radio station.
I know that's it's changed so much now that.
In that respect.
Yeah, but it was good to hear all the different type of music back then,
Mm-hmm.
And now, so this is a whole mixture of all those types of things still.
No, we don't play much straight country. We're basically a blues based band. Some rockabilly, some early R&B. Some straight Chicago blues, half a dozen songs from what was the name of that group again?
Those 4 guys there, the monkeys.
Those other 3, me and those other 3. I was in with those other 3 guys. So I do maybe a half a dozen songs, not all of them exactly as they were done on the original, but mm-hmm. In the original days, but recognizably, I think for the most part, and some genuine get down, low down, rackin' old blues,
yeah.
prime blues, that too.
Now, what instrument are you playing in the band?
Mostly guitar, some keys, some little bit of organ, a little bit of piano.
Yeah. So you really know how to play a lot of different. I mean, you're not just like a bass player or guitar. you do everything, right?
You know, some drummer friends of mine say, "Well, I'm not really a musician, but I hang out with them." I guess so. I took piano for 5 years and theory and in high school and college and French horn in high school and
French
college.
French horn,
wow. Bass came now, and I was playing guitar in pretty short order, and bass came pretty easily. Once you know how to play guitar, bass comes along, no problem. And the five-string banjo, because it was the folk instrument of the day, and you know, that was so classy. And I still play that from
now,
time to time.
Isn't that very difficult? I hear it's very difficult to play a banjo. Is that true?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you're good at it. So.
you put 2 years into it, you'll be the same place as everybody else who puts 2 years into it. And it's, you know, and the same thing with guitar. I mean, I don't know. What do you judge it by? There's a hump to get over. The initial frailing thing you do, that took a little bit of attention to get that.
Yeah.
And picking takes a little bit of attention to get started on and takes some concentration. But that's true of any instrument.
True, yeah. Now, do you have a preference of which one you like, which instrument you like the best?
No. Each one is, I like each instrument for what it can do.
Now, as far as influences, when you were young, growing up?
My favorite's mostly Pete Seeger, I think, really.
Pete Seeger, yeah?
Yeah, he's always been my hero, musically. And as an entertainer and as a person, you know, I haven't followed in his footsteps any particularly, except to get the banjo. But he's always been something special. Other than that, it's just been various odd folk singers. When I hear a singer that sounds really good to me, I go, gee, that sounds really good to me. Bob Gibson, really a very bluesy pop folk singer. I don't know, oh, gosh, all those cats that came up in my village days.
Yeah.
Trading licks with Roger McGuinn, then Jim McGuinn, Richie Havens, and I don't know. Dylan had just left the village when I was coming in. I don't know.
So you were playing with all these people back then?
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. And since...
Stills, particularly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you guys were good friends, right?
We're pretty good friends. Yep.
How about you were playing back with all those people back then, and you've played with numerous people, you know, since then. Is there anybody who you were thrilled to be able to play with that person? Is it to jam with them?
I think it would have to be Jimmy.
Jimi Hendrix? Hendrix? Yeah.
He was the most wonderful musician coupled with the sweetest man. If there was another guy that was as good as Jimmy, but was like nasty, then who would want to play with him? You know,
true.
Unless you thought that you could play with him and not have to talk to him or something. But Jimmy was a doll. You know, he was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And so to jam with him, even only a little bit, really, was. But it was just wonderful. He was just a great gentleman. I'm really sorry that he's gone.
Oh yeah, so many of them went too soon, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How did you hear about getting into the Monkees?
How did I hear about it?
How did you come about getting the part?
Steve Stills told me to go try out. I tried out.
And then did you have to do did they film you, you know, to see how you were on camera and that type of thing?
Oh yeah. They did a thing called the personality test where they just asked questions and let me answer. And then they did a real screen test, scripted, directed, camera action, movement, follow, hit your mark here, say these lines.
Yeah. Now, did you know any of the other Monkees before?
Yeah.
The show itself.
Mike Nesmith was the sort of the MC of the Hootenanny at the Troubadour in West Hollywood. And we knew each other from our Hootenanny days.
Oh,
he was the MC, as I said, and I went over to play at the Troubadour as often as I could.
Huh. So you guys didn't have the span of time to learn to how everybody worked together, and you guys.
Oh well,
knew
no, you don't know anything about anybody from that. We started from scratch, really.
Oh really?
No help for it.
Yeah. Huh. Now, you were the most musically talented of all the other Monkees, right?
I dispute that.
Oh, okay. Well, why is that? I mean, that's what I've heard.
Well, what I told you earlier is the story. I was the best trained.
Yes.
I had the best ear for. You know, you played a chord. I could tell you what voicing it was. What were the pitch? I didn't have absolute pitch, but I could tell you, I could give you an idea of the color of the cord, and I knew a lot about that kind of thing, the theory and the technicalities of this stuff. But when you say musically talented, you have to talk about those other three guys at least in the same breath. I wouldn't know that I was the second or third best talent in the group. Those other guys were very, very good musicians, just innately. They had wonderful pitch, wonderful time. Mickey, Davey, and Mike had both great pitch and great time, and those two things are very important aspects of musicianship.
Yeah,
and you don't come by that without talent.
Yeah.
And Mickey was a campfire guitar player and had a single out before the Monkees.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He could bang on the guitar.
Huh.
And Davey picked up the guitar very readily when he chose to. It was just no problem for him. Okay, I'll put my fingers here. I'll do that.
Oh, so they all had some not necessarily training, but some ability.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm saying. Everybody was musical. I think, really. Like I said, I don't know that I was the second or third most musical in the bunch.
Yeah, huh. Now, why was the decision made that you guys wouldn't play the music?
Well, we were making a TV show.
Right.
They had to get some records out, and they had a gang of people who could be counted on to do that right. So, furthermore, at first we didn't know how to make a TV show. So we were 5 days a week making a half-hour TV show.
True, yeah, yeah.
When we got down to four and three days, and sometimes less than that, we had a little more time, and we were readier to take on the chore of making the records. We knew a little bit more about how to make a record, and the third album we made was us. The first two albums, they were made for us because they had to get the records out, and they had to get the TV show made.
Right, yeah, they're just not enough time to do everything, I guess, yeah. Huh.
That's one feature of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, they chose a bunch of guys who had certain qualities that they wanted, and knowing that there were qualities that they were missing, maybe as a result, they didn't want showbiz kids so much. Yeah, Mickey was a showbiz kid.
Right, he was.
And Davey became showbizzy, but Mike and I weren't at all. And they wanted some of that. They wanted a little difference, a little bit of edge, like, you know, where we were a little bit scared. So they were thinking that showbiz boys would just be too cool, to underplay everything. Gee, that's right, Joe, let's go. You know,
right.
Hey, let's go! Or you go, oh, my God. Or, you know, you're scary.
Yeah.
What comes from being an amateur, you overplay things, and that's what they wanted. So,
yeah. Now we've had a lot of guests on our show, and some of them I found out that they actually were guests on your show. And after we talked about it, I remember those episodes. Recently, we had Richard Keel. Now I don't know if you remember Richard.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Richard played a monster on your show. I remember that, and you guys were training him to play music or something.
That was the idea. Yeah, he was going to be a rock.
Yes.
A rock and roll star,
mm-hmm.
And can you see Richard at 6'9" swinging a little guitar around?
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, another person we had on the show was Ron Masak. He played Count Dracula on the Monkees on one episode.
That's right.
Do you remember Ron?
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. So we've had. And I think there were a couple others too, but I just can't remember. You know, those people. But now, is it true that you guys were offered the song Sugar Sugar, but you guys refused it?
Well, I suppose. I guess so.
Were they constantly throwing different songs at you and say, you know, do you want this, do you want that? Is that how it was going, or did they make the decisions, or?
Well, the first albums were made pretty much without much input. I mean, one of us was always singing lead.
Right, yeah.
But we didn't have an awful lot of input into the first two albums. And we did the third album. In fact, we did the third album ourselves, and we did a bunch of songs that the music publishers had lined up for us. By the time we were about ready for the fourth album, we were beginning to stretch our wings. We thought we were playing some real music, and they offered us Sugar Sugar. And while I actually think it's a pretty good record, Sugar Sugar, mm-hmm. and deserves its place in the bubblegum pop pantheon, we were not doing that kind of music exactly anymore.
Right, yeah, and, you had changed, yeah.
And we were on to other things, and so we said no thanks.
Yeah. And now, like I said, you rivaled the Beatles, back then. Did you ever actually get to meet them?
Sure.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. We were in London touring on the tour, and I don't know who set it up with whom, but there came an occasion when we went to this club that they used to hang out at, and they joined us there. Or at least three of them joined three of us.
Hmm.
I think Mike was not with us, and Ringo was not with them. But John, Paul, and George came over, and I'd met George once before at Mama Cass's house, who was a bit of a friend of mine. I was dating her sister at the time, who is incidentally still a good friend of mine. Leah Kunkel is
mm-hmm.
a fabulous lawyer in Northampton, Mass., not far from where I live.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, I'd already met George, and John and Paul were there too, and it was fun. We had some laughs, but nothing much came of it. We didn't go anywhere.
Didn't jam or anything?
Not there. No, there weren't any instruments. I later jammed with Ringo once, not too much later. And I think I have to say I count Ringo a friend.
Really? Yeah.
Not a deep friend. Not, you know, we don't call each other up all the time and
right.
ask after, you know, and catch up on the day or the week or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always glad to see him. He's always glad to see me. We have a hug and just a few lines. We have some things in common which are worth checking on. And I was at his show not too long ago, just before his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To wish him a happy birthday and so.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Now, recently you've had some health issues.
I have.
Is everything going well now? Or?
Yes, thank you. I'm currently in total remission. We have no clue that there's any recurrence whatever of a kind of a cancer called adenoid cystic carcinoma that I had carved out of me about it was a year ago last. It'll be 2 years this coming March, and apparent little radiation to try to check it in case it was interested in going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, no noise whatsoever about it. I've just been to New York 4 or 5 times to have been checked up on, and it's clear as a bell.
Great. That's good to hear.
It is.
I'm happy for you.
And apparently I'm singing better than ever. People are telling me that, so that's a good thing. I don't know how that happens. doctor, after I get this operation, will I be able to sing? Yes, of course you will. Gee, that's funny. I never could before. Yuck.
Well, you always say, I loved hearing when you sang songs on the Monkees. It was always good to hear you.
Thank you.
Touring with Shoe Suede Blues.
Yep.
You guys are out. Are you out now?
Not at this very moment as we speak.
Right.
But depending on when this gets played out, I might be. I'm doing a quick tour of what looks like the Midwest to me. Cleveland and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. No, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, Cleveland and Cincinnati in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And then back home, just a quickie, an out and in. Few local things where I live in Connecticut. That's about it.
Yeah. Now, you're also making an appearance in, I can't remember, it's one of these conventions, signing conventions in Massachusetts?
Yeah,
it's
called Super Mega Fest.
Yes.
It's Boston Super Mega Fest. Which is not in Boston, it's in Framingham.
Framingham, yeah.
And, you know, all of these are on the petertork.com website, and you can check them out there.
That's what I was going to ask you, website.
Mr. and Mrs. Web website attender.
Mm-hmm. And what I'll do is I'll put a link so people can just, when they're at our website, they can just click on it. It'll take them right to your website so they can find out where you're touring, where you're going to be making appearances. And
appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Yep. It's right there, the little Sonic Bids display. Rhode Island, Bordentown, New Jersey. coming up day after Thanksgiving.
Ah, okay. So
like that.
People get the word out and get a chance to go see you and have a good time, I'm sure.
That's the idea.
Yeah. And now Shoe Suede Blues has a website too also, don't they?
We do. ShoeSuedeBlues.com.
.com, okay.
And MySpace.com/ Peter Tork and Shoe Suede Blues.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those are on the Peter Tork website, too.
Yep. We'll put, like I said, we'll put links there so people can get to it. I got two quick questions here. I always end with this, so I got to... What are your favorite TV shows of all time? Not necessarily ones you were in, but, you know...
Well...
Just things you enjoy watching.
Gosh. I sure enjoyed Hill Street Blues when I was...
Yeah?
Back in the day when that was the show.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, Boston Legal was one I tried not to ever miss.
It's a funny show.
William Shatner was just brilliant on it. James Spader, too. Wonderful, wonderful stuff going on. At its best, it was one of the great shows.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, back in the old days, the Steve Allen Club, the Steve Allen Show, and
yeah.
I mean, gosh, there's so many. Shows that that figured from my youth. I can't even begin to list them all. You're just going to have to let it go with that.
That's fine. And what about movies? What's your favorite movies?
You know, there was a movie called Mao to Mozart.
Okay.
Which featured Isaac Stern in China, and it was re-released with a follow-up. He went back there 20 years later or something like that. And it's so good about music and a little bit about history and a few other odds and ends. Just lovely movie. That was one of the great movies. The Maltese Falcon, maybe.
Classic, yes. That's a classic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe just that one particular. Casablanca was a lot of fun for the same reason, kind of almost.
Speaking of movies, did you enjoy making Head, the Monkees movie?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
don't know. It was I wasn't as into it as I was making the Monkees episodes. Maybe we should have made an episode after all. We said we didn't want to, but
yeah. Huh. So you guys met Jack Nicholson for that. That he was part of that, right?
Yeah, he was in. He wrote and co-wrote and co-produced.
Yeah, and did you meet Jack Nicholson just through? I mean, he wasn't famous at that time, but
right,
just through acquaintances or something.
Well, because he was there, he was on the set,
directing.
I mean, helping direct and talking about what he'd written and being himself. So
yeah. Well, Peter, I thank you so much for taking the time, and it's been an honor to talk to you. I, have always loved watching the Monkees and everything, and your music. It's part of our history.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been good talking to you too, Brian.
Hey, it's Peter Tork of the Monkees. We want to thank him so much for taking the time to talk to us. A lot of fun having him on the show. And it's just nice to hear all the stuff. It's such a thrill because, hey, he was one of the Monkees. And that's about it. That's another wrap for On Screen and Beyond. Next week, we'll have another great guest coming your way. Until then, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.